Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You hear parents say they couldn't choose between their children, but if you're actually a parent, you realize that sometimes it's easy to choose.
All right, it's time for another Suburbs Pod Sports Break here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan. Patrick Foster is off today, but I have with me, as always on these bracket episodes, our capable analysts, Jason Goble. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, Jim? Hey, Bill. Hey, everybody. And all right. I gave away Bill. Sorry.
And Bill Mulligan. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. All right, you guys ready? Here's what we're going to do today. We are going to recap round one of the Critics Quadrant in 80s Album Madness. That is our March Madness style tournament that we have going on over at Facebook, facebook.com/suburbspod, where daily you can vote on a matchup that pits two 80s albums against each other. And you just go there and vote, and then the winner will advance. There's one every day, so this whole thing's going to take quite a while, but we are into the Critics Quadrant. Those 16 albums in that quadrant were based on the Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Albums list. So we just went through that and took the top albums that were released in the 80s that were not already represented in the Sales Quadrant, which we did earlier. Okay, and there's now voting going on in the Listener Quadrant. That is based on a listener Rockin' the Suburbs listener poll that we conducted online. You can go there and vote on those now, but we are going to go back here and look at the results from the Critics Quadrant. So here we go. We're going to go backwards on this. We're going to work our way up to the number one seed. So we're going to start here. Let me just first say that there were many, many upsets in this quadrant. So the voters in our poll do not necessarily agree with how critics have ranked these albums. So we're going to start here with a small upset, but an upset nonetheless. The number nine seed, Metallica, Master of Puppets, took out the number eight seed, NWA, Straight Outta Compton. That score was 56-47.
So let's just start with this. This was an exciting week, I guess, carrying over from the which closed the last episode of the bracket breakdown. I was in the fetal position a lot this week, but let me just say, I think of all the three tournaments, as just in general, this was probably the most exciting first round that I think has existed. So I guess as a general, to just get this started in the immortal words of David Bowie, let's dance. As for this one, look, this was a battle of like basically two definitive albums in terms of like styles of the 80s. I mean, you had probably the album that kind of, got thrash metal sort of on the mainstream versus the album that got gangster rap probably in the mainstream. I ended up voting for Master of Puppets, but this was one of like many in this bracket that I pretty much could have gone either way, which I know for me, that just was a common theme going through this round.
But it was pretty close, 56-47. Master of Puppets moves on. Okay, let's go to the 7-10 matchup. Another upset, the 10, De La Soul, 3 Feet High and Rising, taking out the 7, Kate Bush, Hounds of Love. The score on that one was 58-45. And what I will say about these two albums is I think they're as popular today, I think, as they were when they were released.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I know like 2 years ago when they finally announced the release of the De La Soul catalog, or at least the 6 albums that were never able to be released because of sample clearance and the problem that I guess De La Soul had with their label, I was extremely happy. I, at one point, had a copy. I believe I bought it relatively early when 3 Feet High and Rising came out. I have no idea what happened to that. Admittedly, I know I could have bought it somewhere, but I'm a relatively cheap guy. So I was happy when it sort of returned to streaming and was able to buy a copy at a more reasonable price at the, at a mainstream store. Look, I'll just say this. I'm a huge fan of Long Island hip hop. There were 3 artists here, and just kind of glad at least one got through. And if that one was going to get through, happy for De La Soul that they ended up advancing.
One thing about Hounds of Love, for a while, I was almost afraid of this album because my first exposure to it, a friend of mine, I was over at his house one night, and he was telling me that about this album, Hounds of Love, but he apparently had fallen asleep listening to it on headphones, and he woke up in the middle of Waking the Witch with the demonic voices. So he played that for me first, and I thought, Fraser, what the hell kind of music are you listening to? It took me a while before I actually worked up the courage to listen to the whole thing. So and now it's one of my favorites. But
that's great. Okay, let's see. Let's move on here to the 611. Yet another upset here. Number 11, Janet Jackson's Control, just squeaking past number 6, Eric B. and Rakim's Paid in Full. That score was 48-45.
I know a relatively small vote total, but I guess 2 things. I posted on Facebook. I am definitely a proud member of Rhythm Nation. I'm a huge Janet Jackson fan. This one, I think I got this one through my sister, who I think that's where I first heard Control. So thanks to my sister. But, you know, one of the primary movies of the 80s, at least one of my favorite movies of definitely 80s of all time, is The Breakfast Club. And one of the ways those kids ended up bonding was because they all ended up learning that they had problems with their parents. So, you know what? Good for Janet Jackson for basically vocalizing that, basically saying, Dad, you're ruining my career. I'm taking control. I got these 2 great guys in Minnesota who are going to help me put together an album. And then they put together this masterpiece. Congratulations, Janet, for advancing.
Well said.
Yeah. I was surprised when I haven't listened to Control in a long time. When I put it on, it's like, oh, I've recognized this song. Oh, I've heard this. I didn't realize just how much of it I knew. It's quite an album.
There were a lot of singles on that record. Yeah, for sure. A lot of hits. Okay, we're going to move on to yet another upset in the 5-12 matchup. Now, I think in basketball, this is traditionally where the upsets happen, is the 5-12. But we have them all over the place in this bracket. But anyway, the 12 here, the Smiths' The Queen Is Dead defeated the number 5, Paul Simon's Graceland, 66-56.
This was one of those where I woke up, I knew definitely I was voting for Graceland, but I'll be honest, I was pretty sure I was going to end up on the losing end just because I know when you're talking about this style of music and the alternative music of the 80s and this new wave movement, the Smiths were obviously one of the stalwarts. So I kind of thought that it was probably not going to be good for Paul. I get why the Smiths ended up winning.
Yeah, I also voted for Graceland. I was surprised. I don't want to say that the Smiths were doing something that a bunch of other people were doing, but there were other people making music like that at the time. And Graceland was just such a singular album, at least in terms of what you would hear on the radio. To this day, Graceland, it's one of those albums where when I put it on, every single track is like, wow. I mean, yeah. Which isn't to say anything negative about the Smiths and Queen Is Dead, but I was frankly a little surprised. I thought Graceland was a shoe-in, but that's probably because of my own intense feelings about it.
All I have to say, really, though, on this matchup, it's all leading up to this line, which is the queen is dead. Long live the queen. There we go. Okay. Now we're going to move on here. We're not going to talk too much about the matchups for the second round that this first round produces, because we're going to get to that on a later episode of the podcast. But I do find this one pretty tasty, what's coming up next here, because when you look at the 4-13 matchup here in the first round, which was yet another upset, you have number 13, The Cure, Disintegration, advancing over number 4, Prince, Sign of the Times, 63-51, and that will set up a matchup in the second round between The Smiths and The Cure. So anybody who loves sad bastard music is for a treat that day. But anyway, let's talk about The Cure, Disintegration, defeating Prince, Sign of the Times. I gotta admit, this was a bit of a surprise to me. I was always a Cure fan. You know, I was a pretty big Cure fan in the 80s, but I was, by the time Disintegration came out, which was toward the end of the decade, like, was it even 89? I don't know, but it was toward the end of the decade. I think I felt like I was sort of turning a page away from The Cure, so I didn't quite personally recognize maybe the brilliance of this album. And to me, the brilliance of artistry was Prince's Sign of the Time. So I was a little bit surprised here by this result, but much love for The Cure.
Look, I said on the preview episode, my definitive number one album was Prince's Sign of the Times. So admittedly, I felt like Pat when Phil Collins won in the first round. This one was a little painful. Again, I get it. I was disappointed, but I do get it. Congratulations to The Cure for advancing.
I can't add anything to that.
One last thought here. I was just thinking, too. Prince was an actual basketball player.
It's true.
He may not have had the height that you would think would be required in that sport, but he apparently had some talent back when in his youth, so. All right, let's move on here now. Moving up to the number 3 seed, this one was actually not an upset. We got some chalk here for the first time today here. Number 3 was Talking Heads' Remain in Light, and that album advances over number 14, Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique. This is a New York battle. Resulting score was 64-54 for Talking Heads.
So I didn't comment on this one because at the you pointed out, Chip, this, you know, at the beginning of the preview show, at the preview show, that this one was going to be the one that probably was going to be the most painful for me to vote. And, you know, as they're two of my favorite acts, and I ended up voting for Paul's Boutique. You know, it's funny. It was one of those things. I think this vote was on a Sunday. And so I ended up playing these back. In fact, I think the night before I started playing these back to back. And I think like throughout the day, I continued to play at least like one or two times these back to back. And look, I'll just say Paul's Boutique is a masterpiece. And I just love the story behind Paul's Boutique, that This was an album that potentially ended their career because nobody bought it originally. But then, like, when they sort of had the resurgence in the 90s, people rediscovered this. I came to it, I think, in the 90s, though. I remember the song Shadrach, at least, you know, when the album first came out. You know, there are samples from this album that kind of led me to, you know, back catalogs. Shadrach, perfect example. Loose Booty, I ended up listening to that Sly and the Family Stone album because of that sample. And again, I can't argue because Talking Heads is a masterpiece too, but great contest. Congratulations to Talking Heads.
All right. Moving on to number 2, also not an upset. Number 2 is The Clash, London Calling. With 91 votes over number 15, Prince, 1999, with 29 votes, the second Prince album to be vanquished here. And point of clarification, because this has come up and will continue to come up. London Calling is a 1980s album in the United States, released in January 1980. In fact, this goes back to when we made that ruling a year ago that it would not be in the 70s competition. So there we go. All right. I think London Calling, very strong contender here.
Yeah. I mean, this was the one blowout in this region. You know, again, this is the powerhouse, I believe, of this bracket. I voted for 1999, but I knew that there was no way it was winning. And frankly, you know, again, I thought it'd be even a little closer, but no, London Calling is that strong. And we'll, you know, we'll see if it just continues a march to, you know, how far it ends up going.
Yeah, I mean, you hear parents say they couldn't choose between their children, but if you're actually a parent, you realize that sometimes it's easy to choose. I love these both, and for me, this was the fetal position vote. The only thing that surprised me is the magnitude of the victory.
Right.
I guess, you know, if I'm not saying this is the case, but if one album is clearly the best album and another album is clearly the second best album in the bracket, well, you might still, everybody's going to vote for the best album, even though that doesn't mean
right.
You're not casting aspersions on number 15 there. But yeah, I think I said this last time, in this bracket, I could see the winner of this matchup winning the whole thing, no matter which of the two it was. So, got to feel sorry for Prince, but he's still around, isn't he?
Yeah. The other half of the bracket.
Yeah. He had Purple Rain.
Or the other side of the bracket.
He's got Purple Rain still going. So he's still in it, but, yeah, you can't object to London Calling winning.
Yeah. I think 1999 just had a bad draw here.
Yep.
To face London Calling. By the way, speaking of, favorites and children and so on, I could never pick between my two children, Jason and Bill, here. Never.
That's nice.
Equal amount of love to both. Okay.
That's so nice.
All right.
Warmed my heart on this morning.
Okay. And then we're going to end here with the biggest upset of all, the 16 in this bracket, the Pixies' Doolittle, taking out the number one Public Enemy. It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. The score on that one was 62-45. The Pixies move on.
So, look, I hate to bring something up to Bill, but I have to do it this way. It took 35 years, I believe, from when the format of the NCAA basketball tournament went from 60 went to 64 teams, 16 to win. It took us 3 years. Look, I woke up and I voted for Public Enemy, ended up putting both albums on albums on in the office, knowing that this crowd loves the indie rock and the alternative rock. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure the Pixies are going to end up winning this one today. I mean, I'll be honest, like Public Enemy, I came to sooner. Both of these albums I didn't really listen to in the 80s. Public Enemy, I listened to, I came to in the 90s. Pixies, I really didn't come to the, like, probably the, you know, the middle of this century, you know, the 2010s. So, as I said, it's a latecomer for me, but again, I get it. A bracket where we talked about it was going to be rock versus the rap and R&B. And, you know, another reason, this was another strong example of the rock winning and winning by 17 at the end of the day.
Well, I think most UVA fans will say without 2018, 2019 would not have been possible. So
okay,
we embrace.
So I feel a little better.
We embrace our loss to UMBC. We don't shy away from it. And I think Public Enemy, you can chalk them in as the champion of next year's tournament.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, I'm going to just say this about that Pixies album. I don't know if they're done. And no. I realize we're not previewing the bracket now, but I'm going to be curious to see how they do in the next round.
I agree. I think this album could make a bit of a run here. I think kind of like what I said about De La Soul and Kate Bush earlier, it seems like the Pixies are as popular. This album might be more popular now than when it came out in the late 80s. I think it was a slow burn sort of a record. It's funny because I even think of the Pixies really as more of a 90s band, because I think once that sort of alternative revolution, whatever you want to call it, sort of took over in like 1991, it seemed like the Pixies were right in the thick of that. So anyway, I think they're, you know, I think this album is as popular today as it was back then, or possibly even more so. Okay. All right, guys. Well, thanks very much. So we'll be back with you guys here in about another week, and we will recap the listeners quadrant. So votes are happening on that right now. Go daily to facebook.com/suburbspod. There is a new matchup every day at noon. And if you like your 80s alt rock, you're going to really enjoy the listener quadrant. And we'll come back and we will preview the second round after we get through the rest of the first round. So that's going to take another couple of weeks to do that. All right. Get out there and vote, peoples. All right. Thanks to Bill. Thanks to Jason. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. On behalf of Shadow, we'll talk to you all later.
I'll just say, to paraphrase a Kendrick Lamar song, not that song, Jim, I'm going to just sit down and stay humble for the rest of this week.